Welcome back to another episode of The Anomalous Investor. We have some very important topics coming up today. Everything from the top 20 things that you need to know that happened this previous week to FedNow, a 40-year mortgage, pretty much going over the Bob Lee connection with Cash App. Just really an action-packed episode here. And really just kind of going over everything to kind of give you a feel for the tone of the market. So with that being said, before we jump into things, make sure that you like, subscribe, download the episode on Spotify or Apple Podcast, depending on where you like to listen, and we will jump into things. So this is the weekly recap. This is going to touch on a number of topics prior to us diverging into the individual ones, but this is kind of going to give you an idea of the tone of the market based off of the current events, right? So number one, $10 trillion asset manager, BlackRock, largest asset manager on the planet. Just putting that in there. Headquarters was taken over by protesters in France. Malaysia Prime Minister says there's no reason to continue to depend on the U.S. dollar. Saudi Arabia's Prince MBS says he's no longer interested in pleasing the U.S. Former President Trump says our currency is crashing and will soon no longer be the world standard. And I want to point out, this is courtesy of Watcher Guru on Twitter, if you want to see this for yourself. Now, number five, Bitcoin white paper is hidden on every Apple MacBook computer running recent versions of Mac OS system. Number six, U.S. presidential candidate Robert F. Kennedy Jr. warns that Federal Reserve's FedNow digital currency will result in financial slavery and political tyranny. Number seven, Bank of America, J.P. Morgan, and other banks subpoenaed over President Biden's family's financial records. Number eight, three U.S. congressmen introduce gold standard bill to stabilize the U.S. dollar's value. Number nine, Twitter updates to its website to Dogecoin Doge. That was the emoji that we've seen here. We talked about that. Number 10, Chinese yuan replaces U.S. dollar, becoming the most traded currency in Russia. Number 11, China to invest $39 billion in Malaysia. Number 12, U.S. Treasury says decentralized crypto markets threaten national security. Number 13, Russia and India abandon Europe-dominated oil price, agree to use Dubai oil price benchmark. Number 14, almost nobody paid taxes for crypto in 2022, Bloomberg reports. Number 15, former President Trump says China will probably replace the U.S. dollar as number one currency in the world. Number 16, Fed official says Federal Reserve will need to raise interest rates above 5% and hold them there for a while. Number 17, Thailand opposition leader promises $300 crypto airdrop per citizen if elected prime minister in May. Number 18, former President Trump's NFT sales have increased by 251% following his arrest. Number 19, Florida Governor Ron DeSantis says a Federal Reserve digital dollar threatens U.S. financial freedom. And number 20, Arkansas passes bill to protect Bitcoin and crypto mining. So, as you can tell, most of these topics here are around monetary policy. This is going to be the tone of the market for our presidential debates. Who has the best monetary policy? This is ultimately going to swing elections and stuff. This is huge coming into it. If you listen to our previous episodes, we talked about everything from gold to hedging to owning the market and investing and stuff like that for the turbulent times ahead. And it really just comes down to this shift that we're seeing here and this kind of like this pull based off of the stretches and stuff that America has made. And it's really this organized attack to kind of pivot away from the dollar to further weaken America. A lot of times people get caught up in like the micros and stuff that what's going on, but macros are always in place. And that's certainly international policies and stuff. You have people like, well, not people, but countries like China and Russia who have been waiting on an opportune time to get the U.S. off of pretty much its, I say its pedestal, but to dethrone it, its currency. That's literally like a built-in, I heard the phrase this weekend, it was a built-in stimulus boost for the country, the fact that the dollar is the reserve currency. And I really think, like I mentioned in our last episode, I really think what kind of pushed it over the edge was the sanctions on Russia. And I really think they literally took that approach and they're saying, hey, as long as the world is dominated in U.S. dollars, they're going to be able to do something like this. We talked about that last time. And I think this is kind of like a thing where Russia was kind of able to agree and kind of point out and have that negotiations and stuff with China to say, hey, look, if they can do it to us, they can do it to you. We need other options besides the dollar here. And so now you're seeing all these pivots here, even with Saudi Arabia saying he's not trying to please the U.S. and stuff like that, even though the U.S. has agreed to protect Saudi Arabia. But, you know, Saudi Arabia feels like they have, all the chips. So, you know, somebody else will protect them. So they're like, OK, well, who wants to spend the most money? You know, so it's really just a hot topic, a lot of hot topics going on here in the market, but we're going to dive into these. The biggest thing is that we've seen here a few times as far as losing the reserve currency and our pivot toward or this push toward a digital currency is the whole FedNow system, which is the equivalent of the a Cash App, which ironically they released the day after Bob Lee was stabbed to death. Which is, I don't even want to say it's a conspiracy theory because that's a fact right now. And it's very alarming that such has happened. He was responsible for a lot of things in the market, whether that be Cash App, sitting on like the board of Square. He did some work for Android. He was very innovative in his field. And it's really not even just about him completely. It's the fact that we've seen this happen a number of times, like within like the last 6 months. We've seen these tech developers, these large crypto holders and stuff like that. We've seen them die in their sleep. We've seen them die in helicopter crashes. We've seen all these random things where these large innovative crypto people in this particular space are randomly dying. And now we have a guy getting stabbed to death at 2 o'clock in the morning. And, you know, no suspects, nobody's seen anything. You know, it's just a tragedy and it's unfortunate. And I believe it's just really a random turn of events that such a thing is even happening at this particular rate. So, and I certainly don't think it's a coincidence. I think this is certainly some organized movement, in my opinion, some calculated moves to kind of get us to, or at least remove people who may have had alternatives or just a lot of knowledge in the space and stuff like that. I think this is certainly a calculated movement, but I'm not going to get into conspiracies on here. So, but it is a fact that these people have all died randomly within, like, I want to say since like October. So, you know, you can certainly do some research into that and get additional information. So the biggest thing here, getting with Fed now, is the fact that if we have a cashless society, the government has complete, my issue is the government has complete control over everything that we do with that currency. And literally they can press a button. Imagine if you didn't have the option to go to the ATM and get cash. Imagine all the change in your car, at your house, the money you have in your wallet, your purse at your house is all useless. And without you only had your debit card. Anything happens for whatever reason, you know, with the press of a button, you are now helpless, no matter how much money you have. You know, and there's no alternative. No one can give you any money. It's a cashless society. So even if they try to transfer it over to you to help you out or whatever, if your account is locked or blocked or whatever, for whatever reason, you are absolutely screwed. And that literally, as you've seen here on this list, is a huge concern here. I think DeSantis and Trump said it several times. Even some congressmen were introducing like a gold standard bill to, you know, get around this, because this type of control, it never works out for the citizen. This is never a benefit for the citizens, right? This is more of a government thing. This has nothing to do. And you've seen, there's a lot of articles on about how this works, like in China with their social, it's like a social system or social grading scale or something like that, where, you know, if you run a red light or jaywalk or something like that, they can automatically just suck the money out of your account, you know, using facial recognition technology and stuff like that. You literally have, you don't have the option to say, okay, well, I'm going to go pay the fine. The fine for what I did is $50. I'm going to go pay it on the 15th or something like that. Like, no, we're going to take it out now. You know, we have that option there. What are you going to do? So it's just, and I think that a lot of times people think that a lot of things can't happen here in America, but you have to see the transitions and stuff that we've already gone through in the last 10 or 15 years before you can say never say never. And I think this FedNow thing is certainly a a threat to our freedom and our freedom to have options. Not everybody uses cash and stuff like that, but you have the freedom to use the cash. So that is, it's not a matter of, because I know they're using a thing saying, it has to be, it's going to help the environment. They don't have to print money and stuff like that. Like only 3% of our money is in cash anyway. 97% of it is already digital. If we all went to the bank and said we wanted to cash out, there wouldn't be enough cash anyway. So that's just BS what they're talking about here. They're just saying, okay, well, let's get this other 3% off. And, we're going to be able to have complete control. You know, if you want to save money or help the environment and stuff like that, there are probably, I'll say, a couple hundred things. And I can rattle off at least 20 right now. And stop printing the physical money. It wouldn't even put a dent in any of those issues, and certainly shouldn't even be in the top 50 things that would save the government money with the amount of money that they waste and where it is. You know, so like it's just ridiculous here. And in my opinion, that's a pack of lies. And I think that it is really a push to further take control of our monetary policies. And I really think that we've seen some conversations between Ron DeSantis and some of the Texas government, I can't think of his name right now, but they're pushing back against this digital currency altogether. And they're trying to rally some states and stuff to kind of step up with them to reject this notion to have a complete digital currency. So I think that this test run that they're rolling out, I don't necessarily think that it's going to be maybe this year that they try and push it, but there's just more so just like a slight integration to we're not far from if you don't have this particular thing or FedNow, whatever they want to call it, you're not going to be able to buy and sell anything, you know, and that's getting into like biblical proportions here. So we have to be aware of what's going on around us and make sure that we're not just like turning over and allowing these things to happen in that respect. And another idea to kind of get a feel for how things are going, you'll see that the FHA has pretty much given a green light to 40-year mortgages. And make no mistake, this in itself is basically a stimulus package to the real estate sector. If we start offering 40-year mortgages and stuff like that, that brings the price down slightly. So you're certainly going to pay a bunch more interest over that extended 10-year period. But it brings the price down, making it more affordable and stuff like that. I don't think it's a dramatic drop, but it makes it more affordable. And so you're having more people into these homes. And remember what we talked about, I think in episode 2, we talked about how our money is debt and how it has to be attached to assets. How continuously, the money has to run. It has to flow. If it slows down, we go into a recession. If it stops, we go into a depression. So the biggest thing here is they have to continuously have this money attached to inflation. So if we do have this thing where the dollar is no longer their reserve currency and stuff like that, and we have all that excess cash coming back to America, we have to have that money attached to something. Otherwise, we're going to see the money has to be absorbed, basically. Otherwise, we're going to see extreme inflation, possibly even hyperinflation. So when you start seeing these things, 40, 45, 50-year mortgages and stuff like that, they're like, hey, we need you guys to go out and, we need to get this money off the books. So, 30 years is not enough. We're going to have to keep these interest rates high enough. So let's extend the number of years that you can have a mortgage. So now when you buy a house at 20, you can pay it off at 60. You buy one at 30, 35, you'd be like 75, 80, when you pay it off, if you don't pay it off early. So, the goal is, this is not about, I guess you can say there's an added benefit to the consumer for getting like a slightly cheaper mortgage, even though you're paying a ton more interest. But this in itself is a transition at the federal level to have assets and stuff like that attached to actual cash so that we can keep that that money flowing and growing and stuff with interest. So this is a countermeasure in that part. And this is 40-year mortgages, something that's been talked about for a while now. And I think that now that the pressure is on, we're going to see an effort here. So don't be surprised when you see the 40-year mortgage and FHA and stuff like that approving it. Don't be surprised when you see standard lenders approving it, banks and stuff like that. And you may even see an extension past that, maybe even 45 or so. So just kind of keep that in mind here. That in itself is a, I would say like a stimulus to the real estate sector, because that's going to allow people to continue to get in, even though the rates are high and even though the prices and stuff like that are still elevated. They'll say, oh, okay, well, it's coming down the back end because you can stretch it out for a number of years. So that does what? It stabilizes more so the demand and saying, okay, well, at least we can get into the house. And they'll have that narrative saying, okay, well, at least I can get in, even though it's 40 years, 45, 50 year mortgage, whatever. At least I can get in and I always have that option to pay it off later. And so that kind of, you know, stops that that free fall in demand. And, you know, it will have a stabilization as far as like in prices and stuff. So that will be the biggest sector that I think we'll kind of see here, because what we measure, one of the big measuring sticks that we use for the economy is real estate, our ability and our willingness to take out loans. And also we look at the stock market growth and all that kind of stuff like that. So all of that matters greatly. So I think that that will ultimately kind of help that sector out and just say, okay, well, we're seeing stabilization in the marketplace and stuff like that, when really it's just people getting into debt for longer. Ultimately, I do believe that regardless of what happens with crypto and FedNow and stuff like that, I do believe the best bet as far as for a hedge is to have something with an international value that they cannot increase the supply of and manipulate, and that's going to be gold and silver. So again, I do recommend you check out APMEX. I don't have an affiliate link or anything with them, but it's just where I've purchased a lot of my personal precious metals from, so I know that they're really good. And I still believe in owning the market, things like S&P and stuff like that, because even outside of that, if all that goes away and we see these trillion-dollar companies and stuff like that buckle, none of it will really matter anyway. So, you know, the best investment you'll be able to make will probably be something like a Glock or AR-15 or something in that case, because we're going to have absolute chaos on the streets and globally, really. So I think that ultimately those two things should be some great focal points for investors looking to see as far as what should they be doing, especially now. You can have like a small allocation of your account to like speculation and stuff like that, but ultimately this is kind of where you want to build up those coffers, just because of the amount of uncertainty that's going on. Then is your update on current events, things that you should be paying attention to. I hope you found value in this. If you're listening audio, make sure that you download the episode. Subscribe to the channel on YouTube. That's David Mitchell Jr. I appreciate all of you, and I will see you guys in the next episode.